There are 22 paragraphs of Psalm 119, 22 long paragraphs of Psalm 119. Why 22 paragraphs? Now, the writer of this is probably Hezekiah. Hezekiah the king, 2 Kings 18 and following. He's the king who said, we need to find God's word, remember? We need to find God's word. And as they opened the scrolls, revival took place. God's word was important to Hezekiah as he tore down the high places, the places of idolatry. And as he was experiencing the wonderful revival taking place in his land, he pens Psalm 119. Now, this is very well crafted, as all the scripture is, but this particular psalm, 22 paragraphs, represent one of each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. In fact, it is literally an A to Z. So there are 22 letters of the alphabet with 22 paragraphs. Each of those paragraphs start with the alphabet. In this case, it would be Aleph, A. And for 8 verses, you will find the letter A in Hebrew, not in your English. There are 8 verses in each 22 sections. So well crafted. 22 sections representing each of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. And there are 8 verses in each of the 22 sections. Each of those verses, 8 verses long, each start with that Hebrew letter, A, for the first 8 verses. And then B, as it were, for the next 8 verses. Starts with the same letter. That alone seems impossible to this little brain. To craft 22 sections of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, you know, 8 times, 8 sentences starting with that one letter. So again, in English, it starts out with the word blessed. That's a B. Doesn't calculate in my mind. It's because we're reading it in English. But in Hebrew, it starts with an Aleph, an A. So verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 all start with the letter A. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 start with the letter B. 17 through 24 start with the letter C. It's literally Gimel, G, but it's C for us in English. Does that make sense? 22 paragraphs from A to Z, literally A to Z. And each of those 22 has 8 verses. Each of those 8 verses start with that corresponding letter all the way through. Why 8? Most have suggested why 8 because in this, God's word, the scripture, is used in 8 different ways. The word, Bible, if you will, the Holy Scriptures, God's word, is used in 8 different ways in Psalm 119. The 8 ways, the law of the Lord, the promises of God, the commandments of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, the testimonies of the Lord, the words of the Lord, and then the precepts. So are those 8 synonyms for God's word. So the law of the word, or the law of the Lord, is not talking about laws or rules and regulations. The law of the Lord is talking about God's way, Torah. Torah doesn't mean rule or law. Torah means way of life. My kids were younger. Dad, why do we do that? Because it's way of life. It's God's word. It's way of life. It's not rules and regulations. To get away from that concept that law is rules and regulations. Law is way of life. So all of these synonyms are used throughout Psalm 119. And we can ubiquitously say it means God's word, the scriptures. So before we look at Psalm 119 here, let me just add one more thing. Now, recall Hezekiah, he opened the scrolls. They opened the scrolls. They brought it to Hezekiah. Revival took place. So what was written by then? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. That's it. There might have been some verbal on Judges and Ruth, maybe. Maybe a little verbal on 1 Samuel, a little bit, but not too much. So the reality of the scrolls that were opened were the Pentateuch and Joshua. So in a sense, if we're going to be very literal about this, we should, as believers, read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua, and be able to find all of these wonderful qualities about God's word in those six books. But we have way more than that now, don't we? We have 66 books of the Bible in which we can find these awesome promises. So if there was one small assignment that you could do just for fun, would be to, we're going to be looking at 22, this is a 22-point sermon, because there's 22 paragraphs. We have to look at every paragraph, right? So we can't go verse by verse, but we can go paragraph by paragraph, and there's a value, there's a benefit, there's a beauty of God's word that you're going to see. Many of you already know this. This is going to be an amen to so many of you. So what I would like you to do in your spare time is to go through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua and find the benefits of God's word that are found here that Hezekiah pens. Wouldn't that be a fun exercise? So Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, the letter A. The beauty of God's word is that it should produce praise and worship. When we read God's word, it should produce in us praise and worship and adoration of God. When we read God's word, we should declare his worth, declare his value. We should fall in love with God so much more when we read the scriptures. Verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, that I wouldn't be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Instead, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Oh, that I would learn your ways and learn your words, and instead of being ashamed, I would just give you praise and glory for who you are. Do you feel like that's you today? When you think about what God has done, when you look into the word at the nature and character of God, you just simply give him glory and honor and value and worth. God's word produces praise in our hearts. No matter what week you've had this week, no matter what has taken place this week, we open God's word and declare his value, and all of a sudden things get, you know, come into perspective just a little bit better. God's word brings about, produces praise and worship. Verses 9 through 16, second letter of the alphabet. God's word gives guidance in our youth. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 9 starts, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. How many got saved before you were 18 years old? So you got saved in your youth, okay? How many got saved after the age of 18? I would dare say, other than God's sovereignty, it's God's promises and all of that wonderful stuff, that hypothetically speaking, would you rather have followed the Lord at the age of 12 than when you came to the Lord? I mean, thank the Lord for his providence and care. You went through experiences and life experiences and things like that that showed off his character in your life. But all being equal, wouldn't it be better if you got saved at age 7 or 8? Oh my goodness. God's word promises and gives guidance to young people. Never neglect the reading of the word in your family. It's so vital, so critical that they understand God's word is that place. And maybe at age 17, 16, 17, 18, 19, they get a little sideways and do some things you might not particularly like, but God's word is in their soul, it's in their heart, it's going to bear fruit. Don't neglect God's word for your family. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. I delight myself in these things. I'm not going to forget your word. Number 3, verses 17 through 24, next paragraph. God's word gives us wisdom as we're walking through life, as we're sojourning. Verse 18, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Anybody feel like strangers on the earth? Anyone feel like just sojourners? You're living on this earth and in this life, but it's just, you know, there's something better. The fellowship of the saints are so important because this is a time we come together and understand that there is something better than what the world has to offer. Open my eyes that I would see the wondrous thing from your word, from your law. I'm a stranger to the earth. Don't hide your commandments from me. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight and they're my counselors. Yeah, God's word gives us wisdom. God's word is our counselor. God's word, as we go through this life being a stranger, we're learning his word and his word counsels us. Have you had this week counseling from the word in your life? Where you've read something and you were just immediately convicted of something? That God stirred in your life? You're right, God. I got to submit over to your ways. Have you had a moment this week where you've been pondering and walking through and working through something in your life and you open the word and there's a wonderful promise there? It just gives you encouragement. It gives you an uplifting spirit. Have you had that happen? Such an awesome thing when God's word gives you wisdom and guidance. The next paragraph, number 4, verses 25 through 32. God's word revives us when we're struggling. Revives us in distress. Verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Anybody's soul clings to the dust? You kind of had a bad week, you're kind of done with it. My soul just clings to the dust. Revive me according to what? Your word. Revive me according to your word. Wouldn't it be fun to read the Pentateuch and find the places where God's words revived the soul that felt so distraught? In the book of Joshua, do we find souls that have been just clinging to the dust and God's word? Well, he says to Joshua, be courageous. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me. Verse 28, my soul melts with heaviness, so strengthen me according to your word. Provide strength for me when my soul feels like it's just melting. I'm melting. Right? Wizard of Oz. Right? Some of you feel like you're just like, I'm not making it. God's word strengthens us when we are heavy laden. Number 5, God's word gives us endurance and perseverance. God's word gives us endurance and perseverance. Teach me, O Lord, verse 33, the way of your statutes. I'm going to keep it right to the end. Verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. I long for it. I need it. I want to keep it to the very end. When we're struggling, when we're hurting in life, God is going to give us his word that keeps us keeping on through the difficult times. God's word gives us perseverance. He allows us to go through those hardships. The word persevere means that there's a heavy block right here, and perseverance, it retains its shape. So you are like a block of wood, and there is trials and tribulations crashing in, and you retain your same shape. That's endurance. You retain your shape. When we don't have God's word exuding in us, involved in our lives, that endurance, or that the trials, tribulations that come on all sides, pretty soon chips away at that block of wood. And when we read God's word and ingest God's word, it gives us those perseverance times in which we retain our shape. God's word allows us to retain our shape. Number 6, God's word strengthens us when we are being ridiculed. I like how exact Hezekiah gets here. When we're being ridiculed. Anybody been ridiculed this week? It hurts. It hurts. God's word strengthens us when we're being personally attacked. Right? What's the go-to when we feel hurt by others? Verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, who taunts me is the word, for I trust in your word. Those who ridicule, taunt, make fun of, God's word is there to strengthen us and to revive us when we're being reproached. wow, this psalm is long. Look at all that. There's like, I got 3 pages in my Bible. How many pages do you have in yours? I got like, look at that. It starts here, it goes all of that, and all that, and all that. It's a little bit larger print, admittedly. Number 7, God's word encourages us to keep on keeping on when we're reviled and when we're hated. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. Verse 54, your statutes have been my songs. Your statutes have been my songs. I would imagine that our worship songs and praise songs better be God's word, right? Your statutes have been my song. In my house of my pilgrimage, I remember your name in the night. I remember your name in the night. This isn't just, oh, it's like 8 p.m., I'm going to remember you. The night has that connotation of darkness, has connotation of warfare, of bad effect that's going on. I cry to you in the night, and you've been there. I keep your law, and it has become mine. I've kept your precepts. God's word encourages us to keep on through life, even when full of derision and affliction. Number 8, God's word strengthens us when we're persecuted. There's a lot of similarities to these, right? As Hezekiah is trying to tear down all the idolatry that's going on, and certainly he and his fellow countrymen felt a lot of derision and effect by going away from the norm of the day. God's word strengthens us when we're persecuted. Verse 61, the cords of the wicked have bound me, but I'm not going to forget your law. At midnight, there it is, at midnight I will rise to give you thanks because of your righteous judgments. Yeah, midnight. So it's not just at night, it's now midnight. That means it's the darkest of the dark times. And through those dark, 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 dark moments, God's word is a lamp. Oh, that's coming up. Lamp to my feet and a light to my path, isn't it? Number 9, Hebrew word tate. God's word is good. We'd be in letter I right now, by the way, in our English. All these letters here would start, these verses would start with the letter I in English. It starts with a tate here. God's word is just simply good. Verse 68, you are good, and you do good, so teach me these statutes. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. It is good. Verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. God's word is good. Verses 73 through 80, next paragraph. God's word creates and is by nature fellowship. It's also embedded within that accountability. Verse 74, those who fear you will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in your word. God's word produces this personal example of your life. It creates a fellowship. Fellowship is not used in the Old Testament very much, certainly a New Testament theme, through Christ and the cross and the power of the Spirit. But it's not devoid of understanding in the Old Testament, just feels a little bit differently. God's word creates an accountability. God's word creates a unity within body of Christ, as it were, within believers, creates fellowship. Fellowship is not something that we eat after this service is done. Fellowship is who we are. We don't go do fellowship, we are fellowship, right? That's what God's word does. Without God's word, there is no fellowship. So those who fear me will see, and they will be glad with me. It's sort of that weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. As body of Christ, we are with one another, sharing not only in the sufferings of Christ, but sharing in his character with and to one another. Verse 79, let those who fear you turn to me. Those who know you and your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes. May I not be ashamed. There's a fellowship that is going on with a commonality of God and his word. That's what makes us body of Christ. Number 11, verses 80 through 88. God's word gives us hope in times of trials. Verse 83, for I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. A wineskin in smoke. Valueless, worthless. Going through so much trial, you're worthless, ready to be thrown away. But instead of being thrown away and tossed aside, I don't forget your word, and it revives me, verse 88, according to his loving kindness. Number 12, God's word gives us life. God's word gives us life. Your faithfulness, verse 90, your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my own affliction. I will never forget your precepts. Provide them, you have given me life. By your very words, you have given me life. Without your word, without your law, not only do I have no delight, I have no life. God's word gives us joy. Number 13, verses 97 through 104. My Bible has all these in paragraphs, by the way. Does your Bible have them all in paragraphs? Isn't that nice? Thank you, Bibles, for doing that. It wasn't originally done that way in Hebrew. Hebrew is just all lines. There were no paragraphs. There were no breaks, no nothing. Just line after line after line after line. And so whoever's, you know, kind of recording this and rewriting it, they're going to notice, again, why are all these A's? And then there's all these B's. Then all these C's, right? So they lined up and put in paragraphs. Thank you for doing that. That's so nice of you, whoever you are. God's word gives us joy. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law is my meditation all day long. Is that how you feel? I love God's word. I wrote a little brochure many, many years ago. It's called I Love This Book. I love this book. Big old exclamation. I love this book. I always wanted to write a hermeneutic book, like a Bible study book, like a textbook on how to study the Bible, how to read the Bible, how to engage in the Word. I just wanted to call it, I love this book. How do I understand it? How do I interpret it? How do I understand how to get through crazy verses I don't quite get? How do you get through the book of Leviticus? How do I get through different passages of scriptures I don't understand? Where does history and culture fit in? I love this book. I've told you before, I'm going to say it again. I am not a scholar. I just love the word. I was not a good student in school. Not a good student. I was a nice student. I was a moral student. I was an ethical student. But I wasn't a good student. In fact, I was so nice, people thought I was smart. I'm not. But I love God's word so much, I want to know it. I want to understand it. And I want you to understand it. I love this book. It gives me so much joy. When things go wrong, when things go, I have to get into the word. It gives me joy. I can listen to praise and worship music for a while, but it doesn't compare to reading the word and letting the word sink in. It just gives me great joy. Oh, how I love your law, verse 97. It strengthens me as I meditate on it day and night. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate false ways. Ah, is that your heart today? I love your word so much, God. Thank you for instructing. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for showing me. It's so sweet to read your word and understand how you've worked in others and what you're doing today. And oh, I detest all the things that are around me that are not of you. Number 14, God's word gives direction. It really is. It's one of the greatest verses. One of Chuck's favorite verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding, on your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. God's word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. Where's the lamp? Where's the lamp? It's at your feet. The light is on your pathway, right? See, the lamp can't be too far ahead, or you're going to trip and fall, right? And if it's behind you, you're going to trip and fall. But the lamp is right at your feet. One step at a time, there's God's word. Oh, I know we look to God's word for something in the future, something so far down, some a year from now, 2 years from now, 10 years from now. And what he says is God's word is right here at your feet. Right here at your feet. And so when that light is right there, when God's word is right there, just take that step and you know you're in good foothold with the Lord and his word. And he's not gonna show you what next year looks like. I'm sorry. He's gonna show you what today looks like. His word is going to show you how you live your life today. So Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Just let God's word be a light and a lamp right here to your path today. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the tomorrows. Let it be a lamp to your feet, to your walk today. Verse 112, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. It's going to direct us all the way to the very end. Number 15, verses 113 through 120. Verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. You provide safety, protection, for I hope in your word. I have confidence in your character. That you will be with me. Verse 117, hold me up and I will be safe. Hold me up. Yeah, uphold, literally. Hold me up so I'm standing up. I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling wobbly. Hold me up. Be my crutch and I will be safe. I shall observe your statutes continually. God's word provides safety, protection. And he gives us a crutch. Verses 121 through 128. Number 16, God's word is simply right. In a culture, in a world where right is wrong, wrong is right, right's anything you want it to be, God's word is right. Verse 126, it is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as empty. Therefore, though I love your commandments more than gold, yes, fine gold, therefore all your precepts concerning all these things I consider and found to be right. I hate the false way. It's what God's word does. In God's word, has there been anything thus far about rules and regulations? Is there anything like, if I follow this, then I'm going to get this? You can't do this. You can't. The beauty of God's word are not rules and regulations. Look at the benefits of God's word here so far. I feel like I'm concluding and we're not done yet. Look at all these awesome things. God's word strengthens when we're persecuted. God's word gives us accountability. It keeps fellowship going. God's word gives us hope through trials. God's word produces praise and worship. God's word gives us perseverance. It strengthens us when ridiculed. It's by nature truth. God's word gives us compassion. Number 17, it's not about rules or regulations. It's not about producing happiness or unhappiness. It's not about casting judgment. God's word is the standard by which we simply live life. And it's so good. God's word causes compassion. Verses 129 through 136. The last verse, 136. Rivers of water run down my eyes because men don't keep your law. The more we read the scripture, the more compassion we should have on the lost. The more we see the scripture and see how God is so patient with those who disobey and abandon faith and walk away and disregard God's word, the more we see that, the more compassion we should have on the lost. God's word causes compassion in our souls in which we just cry for the lost, mourn for those who live in sin or walking away from the truths of God's word. Rivers should run down our eyes because people have such a low regard for God's word. Verses 137 through 144. Number 18, God's word produces sorrow, mourning over sin. Yeah, as rivers run down our faces, I think the author says, well, speaking of that, we have compassion for the lost. But verse 139, my zeal has just consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is so pure. And I, your servant, loves it. I am so small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights, plural. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I will live. God's word produces this sort of righteous anger, in a sense, sorrow and mourning over the sin that you see, sin in your life and sin in others. God's word produces a mourning of sin. Verses 145 through 142, God's word is truth. Verse 151, you are near, O Lord. All your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Before anything existed, the I am existed. Everything that he put into motion, anything that he said is truth, far beyond us because we're his creation. Far be it from us to have a foothold on truth when God's word is the truth. Number 20, God's word is everlasting. It promises everlasting life. Let's start 150. Let's just read this. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I don't forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked. They don't seek your statutes, but great are your tender mercies towards them, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many of the persecutors and my enemies, they don't turn to your testimonies. I see treacherous, and I'm disgusted because they don't keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. It is an everlasting truth that we have in front of us today. It's so awesome. And three times he says, revive me, 154, 156, 159. Revive me in your word. Number 21, God's word produces more praise and worship because of our identity in Christ. Verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds a great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation. I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. I rejoice at your word. I just rejoice at your word. I hate the lying and I abhor the things that I see, but I love your law. And lastly, number 22, the Z in the Hebrew alphabet. God's word produces repentance. I could not imagine writing a psalm like this of taking our English alphabet and using each letter eight times in a row to start a sentence. That is unbelievable. What an amazing, well-crafted Psalm 119. Number 22, God's word produces repentance and confession. 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. Let your judgments help me. Yes, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Oh, when we get lost in our ways, when we get stuck in our sins, we go astray like a lost little puppy, a lost little sheep. God's word produces repentance and confession as he closes up Psalm 119. Yes, we may have gone astray like a lost puppy, like a lost sheep. But he says, seek your servant. Seek me out, God. When I start running astray, will you just keep following me? I don't know. When my two little puppies, Timothy and Titus, when they were little, my little pastoral puppies, Timothy and Titus, they're kind of small, but they have big names, you know, and it's biblical. Timothy and Titus, when they were puppies, oh man, they get outside. We didn't have a fence yet. They just run. Oh my goodness, they just run. We didn't, you know, we were new and the kids were very little. Sam was like not even one. So they're old. They're old dogs. They don't run like that anymore. They were young. They used to run. We used to chase after them. Just think, if you're an owner and you love your puppies and the puppies run off and you don't chase it, you don't go after it. You go, oh, well, it's just a dog. We'll just get a new one. I hope that never happens. That's awful. I feel awful just saying it. I mean, they aren't exactly family to us because my boys and my girls and my wife, of course, that's family, okay? But, I mean, they're an extension of family. I mean, they're dogs. And they go running off. Hey, you know what it's like, right? They go running off, and you go chase it, right? It's like a little lost puppy just running around. You're going to go chase it. Guess what God does to you? Sometimes you get to be a little old lost puppy and just start running in your ways. Thinking you can do whatever you... And guess what God does? He chases after you. He doesn't want to let you go. He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to just start over. Who cares about you? He chases after you. He longs for a relationship with you. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek me. Seek your servant. Don't stop chasing after me when I do dumb things. Lead me to your word. Guide me to the word so that I don't forget your commandments. That's how Psalm 119 ends. The beauty of God's word, A to Z, Aleph to Tau. God's word, A to Z. Never forget the beauty and loveliness of God disclosing himself in his word, that all of these benefits could be yours. I'd encourage you this week, for those of you who love social media, go ahead every day, morning and evening, post God's word. Don't post the news thing. Don't post how angry you are about the news thing. Don't post how happy you are about the news thing. Don't post about how unhappy they're unhappy about the news thing. Don't post how you're happy that they're happy about the news thing. Hezekiah writes this because revival is taking place when the word is opened. In my little heart of hearts, in my little idyllic world I live in, I just want to think that if we all just get into the word and speak those words to others and put it on social media and say what God's word has done to you, for you, that there wouldn't be an awakening that could happen in San Diego. How many followers do you have on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever? More than 10? Times 300. That's a good start. I have 2,600. It's not that many. I'm not saying that for a reason. That's what I've got. And when you disclose God's word to a hurting people, it will do something, because this is what it says it's going to do. I know we have hurts and pains. I know life is very difficult and challenging. God's word addresses those things. Go ahead and put that out there. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. Just go ahead. And if you have a video, whatever. Hey, there's the verse. Thanks. God bless. You got that? You do that all the time, right? Video. Do a video thing. Do something about the word this week. Every day, morning, evening. Just try it for fun. Just try it. And you'll be amazed in your own soul how encouraging and reviving it is into your own life. what impact you might have on others you might not ever know. Of just saying, you know what, whatever's going on in the world, I choose to be encouraging in the Word of God. I'm going to let it minister to me. I'm going to let it be right. I'm going to let it be truth in my life. And for those of you geeks who want to really have fun, go ahead and get in that Pentateuch and Joshua and find these promises. God's word is right. Where did Hezekiah come to that conclusion? Somewhere in the Pentateuch. He saw the words of God and he said, that is right. I wonder what instance he was thinking about. God's word is the stronghold when you're feeling ridiculed. Anybody in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua feel ridiculed? What did God's word do? Wouldn't it be fun to line list those places? Just 22 of them. Find 22 places in the first 6 books of the Bible where these promises were true for Hezekiah, where he wrote those out. And the beauty of this, go ahead and go into the New Testament while you're at it and throw 22 from the New Testament in there as well. Wouldn't that be awesome? To focus this week on the beauty of what God's word does in our life. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could just open up just for a few minutes and share this awesome paragraph written by Hezekiah. He had his ups and downs, his faults, his failures, but one thing to be sure, he loved your word. Loved your word. God, may we absolutely find beauty, authority, rightness, confidence in this holy word. For some of us today, this is just an amen. This is my life. This is what I do. Thank you, God. I'm so encouraged. For others, God's word's going to reveal a sin, a heartache, a trouble that we have. God, may they just go into your word. May they seek when we're done right here and we worship and give you all the praise and glory that's due you. May we find a brother, sister in Christ and share the hurt that we have and ask and seek for prayer. May we grow as a body of Christ together in our oneness to one another through the word. Thank you, God, for what you do in us and through us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.